How are we doing?
Wait, we're kicking off Derek's low energy today, so...
Derek's low energy. So, that, do you know what that means, Nathan? Welcome back to the Westbrook Show.
Russell Westbrook podcast.
Where we cover everything from the R to the K in Russell Westbrook's name. Little bit of everything, little bit of passing, little bit of assisting, little bit of dunking, little bit of shooting. How are we doing today, boys? Derek's, I don't know if he's sleeping there, it's a bad connection, or if man's just hanging.
I'm hanging a bit. I've been relegated to my brother's bedroom right now, so I'm not in the most professional settings, but I also did get in at 5 a.m. So after watching the Canelo Billy Joe Saunders fight, which was worth watching, and yeah,
what are your thoughts?
I'm a little bit laggy.
Because I haven't seen the highlights yet, so...
It was Billy Joe did a decent job, but Canelo just he toyed with him a bit and then just broke his eye socket. He didn't even Billy Joe gave up on his Gato gave up on his stool. Didn't come out for the night round. Yeah, it was quite even. Like Billy Joe Saunders might have even been winning, and it looked like Canelo just went, you know what, nah, this ain't happening today, and just pumped him up.
But I also saw that, on the whole, something that we also seem to cover every other week, YouTube boxing, some Jake Paul guys, came in the ring at the end and, who won the fight again? I wanted to say Caruso.
Yeah, but have we even covered, did we, or maybe we'll leave it till later, but did we cover the, I got your hat?
Got your hat? No, we ain't going, I got your hat. Don't fucking distract me like that.
Bro, that yeah.
You got half his hairline with the fucking hat.
Boxing's in a low place right now.
I'm telling you, Jesus.
WWE.
Yeah, that press conference alone is so jokes.
Nathan, how you doing?
Let's get to it.
Yeah. Wait, sorry?
How are you feeling? Talk to us. You've been out in the sun all day.
Oh, oh my days. Yeah, sorry, I was just thinking about Vince McMahon trying to organize this whole Logan Paul Mayweather fight. But yeah, weather's been good today. I've been outside a bit. Almost didn't make it, obviously I made it. So there you go. We're here. Ready to talk about some sports.
Yeah, yeah.
Some live stuff. Maybe a little Drake in there, maybe. You know, if he's kind of sports now, so.
Hey, rappers and athletes are synonymous. We want to be them. They want to be us.
Boss. No, Drake got his own shoe with Nike, and it looks like a crappy basketball shoe.
Drake must be on his fourth or fifth Jordan shoe.
Is it a Jordan shoe?
I don't know, what I'm saying is he has had Jordan OVOs, like a bunch of them.
Whoa, I've seen some new ones that haven't been released and they're looking very mid.
But then there's also the Drake
and one style.
There's also the Drake Nocta collab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's had, I think, 2 or 3 capsules.
Yeah, so he's relatively sporty. He's a sporty individual. We can slip him in here maybe.
Yeah, we can talk about Drake.
Maybe.
So let's kick off with some Beeble.
Some Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to it, the Westbrook podcast, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I feel like I've been, I don't want to be portrayed as a Westbrook hater. The guy's great and he's done some great things.
Can we repeat that? Rewind.
he's doing some great things. So I'll allow you guys to talk about how great Russell Westbrook has been.
What kind of apology is that? Yeah, the apology has to be as loud as the disrespect.
What
I got missed a whole 20 plus 5 additional.
I'm not going back on what I said, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he's great. So,
let's not
go into my opinions on his limitations. This is a time for him to be celebrated. So, celebrate.
Right, fair enough. All right, that's a very I like that as a guy who sits on the fence. I appreciate that. I tried to put it back a bit and said, like, yo, I said some stuff, but we're in a different moment now. I feel that. And
I did that. I'm not taking back what I said.
All right, cool. Just confirm. But yeah, Russell Westbrook has equaled Oscar Robertson's record for triple doubles. I think he even got, like, that was last night, right? That was basically this morning.
Yeah, so it was 12 hours ago, so it was effectively on Saturday evening.
Yeah, that was pretty predictable, and I guess he's going to break it by a significant margin.
Yeah, I'm just seeing the next time they're playing to see when that actually is going to be, or when that potentially could be.
Could be tonight.
No, it's going to be Tuesday night.
Yeah, so yeah. Maybe he'll get his own, I don't know. Do you get something special for that? I don't know.
Nobody cares about
Derek's point, isn't it? Like, doing it. I guess, like, triple doubles are somewhat arbitrary, isn't it? It's a somewhat arbitrary stat. But it's a very respectable stat because you don't win prizes for, like, getting triple doubles, obviously.
But what I think is also, like, people overlook a lot with a lot of triple doubles and even double doubles is that's a stat that you cannot get on your own. Like, an assist doesn't come from just passing a ball. Assist comes from your teammate successfully putting the ball in the hoop within a certain bounce or within a certain period, you know? So as much as it is Russell Westbrook's award, which he's built up through years and years of different teammates, whatnot, he's able to kind of achieve it now with the Wizards. And, like, they are, as I say, like, able to put the ball in the hoop for him, whether that be Bradley Beal, who effectively did the decisive shot to tie him, or whoever it may be.
Bradley Beal got 50 again yesterday.
Yeah, dropped a 50-piece. And he got a win. He dropped a 50-piece and got a win. He must be happy.
And how many of these were Russell Westbrook assists, for example?
Russell Westbrook got like 17 assists or something.
Yeah, exactly. He gets
17 and 17.
An absolutely ridiculous amount of assists per game. But,
he also
sometimes I think, like, actually, is it, can you, like, in football, when it comes to assists, people sometimes question the quality of the assist. So, like, at Barcelona, there was this famous moment where, like, Busquets gave Messi the ball on the halfway line, and then Messi dribbled past, like, five players and then banged it. Busquets still got the assist.
In basketball, I believe, when I, like,
no, basketball's what not
I
that.
Remember was there's a two-bounce rule. On the third bounce, it's no longer an assist.
So does this make Russell Westbrook the most creative player in the NBA? If you're getting the most assists, doesn't mean
you're
the most creative.
No,
does it mean you found a system around? Or what? That's the question, isn't it?
That's my point as well.
What do you class as creative? Like, what are you defining? Are you just saying, okay, we're just looking at those pure numbers, or are you looking at how someone can manage and open up different defenses and create different types of looks and opportunities?
I think, like, the root of it is, at the end of the day, in order to get these numbers, talking about assists, you have to be able to create that opportunity. So to be creative in the sense of this, like, whether that is breaking down a defender, whether that is fitting the ball through the hole, like threading the needle, then, yeah, I would argue in some way that he is, but I would also argue in some way he isn't, because he's not flashy with it.
I think Russell Westbrook can... He has a few moves which, when he's doing them properly, people have to double up on him. So either that's his pick and roll when somebody's rolling to the basket, or him driving into the lane, people have to double up on him, because otherwise it's a guaranteed basket. And then for him, then it's just a quick pass out, 3-point or lob up, guaranteed, like, alley-oop. And although he's very, very good at those things, I wouldn't say he's the most creative. Like, I wouldn't put him in the Jokic or the Doncic or the LeBrons in terms of creativity.
But as I say, that's in a sense because they've all got a little flair. They've got a little flash when they do it, whether that's the European style of basketball. I know you mentioned LeBron there as well. But even then, he'll jump and he'll throw the ball, would you know, flex a little bit, whatever. Whereas Westbrook does it more laissez-faire, where it's just like, oh, he's finding the guy, and then he'll turn around and get back on D.
So what does the assist title mean? That's the question I'm kind of probing at. Because with a scoring title, you say, okay, he's scored the most, so he's the most lethal scorer in the league right now. In general, I mean, KD hasn't won it in a while, and he's still kind of like...
But has Westbrook won an assist title?
He's going to.
He's going to win it this year.
Yeah, he's getting like 15 assists a game, man.
There's also the general mad statistic. Once again, don't know if it's 100% true, but Russell Westbrook could average 0.0 assists a game, like, for the rest of the season, and still come out with a triple-double average.
Bearing in mind, he also started the season terribly, which is, like, it's pretty monstrous. So, I mean, I just want to pose a question. Like, I love Russell Westbrook, innit? And like, obviously, I think he's a great player. But the triple double, you don't get awards for just a triple double. And with the assist stats, which is his greatest strength, I guess, like he gets a lot of assists very regularly, even when he's not scoring or rebounding. What does that actually mean? Does that mean he's more of a team player? Does he need to build a team around him? Does he excel in these situations where, I guess, the people around him are a bit more limited in their scope, I guess?
This is what he wanted, right? Like, that's why he asked to get traded out of Houston. He wanted the team to be built around his style of basketball, not James Harden's style of basketball. And yeah, maybe like that. It's an interesting point. If he has the right role players around him, I think Bradley Beal's a perfect sidekick for him as well.
Bradley Beal just wants to score.
Yeah, exactly. And Bradley Beal can spot up. Bradley Beal can run around screens and just like catch and shoot. Bradley Beal can take the ball out of his hands and create his own baskets when he needs to. Like, I'd say, yeah, you're right. If he has the right people around him, Westbrook can be utilized to get ridiculous numbers.
Because I mean, that's why I think like his whole thing with KD was also relatively successful. I guess KD wasn't so happy with the role, but KD is also another one of these players where you're like, he doesn't really need to be on the ball so much.
Mm.
I mean, that's pretty interesting to me because, like, obviously, you make this point, and then, like, you look at a lot of Russell's squads over the years, and he maybe hasn't been in the position, like, squad wise, coach wise, to actually excel in this sort of way. Could also be down to the contract. Maybe a lot of people aren't willing to, like, put all their money in the Russell Westbrook boat, given you got guys like LeBron James and so on. I don't know.
If you have Russell Westbrook in your team, you have to utilize him. Like, you have to build the whole team around him. It's not, you don't have a massive amount of flexibility in terms of what you could. Yeah.
In terms I agree of what, with that. Like,
I think if you have LeBron in your team, you can. Okay, LeBron's different. But there are certain players that you can have in your team who are max players who you can. There's a bit of flexibility. With Westbrook, he can do a lot for you. But you need to have the right way of playing around him.
And the right coach, I guess. You also need a coach who can also, like, I don't know. It's an interesting question. I mean, it's kind of amazing to still see a player like reach these sort of heights, despite not necessarily being in the best or ideal situation for him in his career. Like, it's actually nuts. But maybe it's also like a symptom of that. It's like, yeah, okay, I don't have these players around me. I've got to do it all.
So where do you think, so we're getting to the business end, do you think the Wizards will make it through the play-in tournament?
Make it through? I don't know if they'll make it through. I reckon they'll make it in, and they'll
They're guaranteed in. But like, as in they'll get the eighth seed.
I think they'll who's the eighth seed?
So right now you have Charlotte, you have the Pacers, and I think the Celtics.
I think the Wizards will give all three of those teams a lot of trouble.
Well, they just beat the Pacers last night.
Bradley Beal might have done his hamstring, so I don't know how bad that is.
Yeah, that's the case.
But I don't see why they shouldn't get the eighth seed. They'll get knocked out by the Sixers, but I don't see why they shouldn't get the eighth seed. And there'll be a tough out for the Sixers. Like, it won't be easy if Bradley Beal's fit.
No, it won't. Well, and speaking of the play-ins, LeBron James, not a fan.
It's funny that he only cares now that the Lakers are going to the play-ins. Yeah. And they lost to the Blazers, so if they have an
even... No. He lost to Damian Lillard.
Logo Lillard. You know, who was it that was disrespecting Dame time the other week? I feel like one of you was talking shit about Dame. But anyway...
I don't really throw disrespect on nobody.
Oh, wow. Let's keep moving.
But with... What do you think of LeBron's comment, though? I do think it was just quite funny that now he cares about the play-ins, even though the play-ins have been a part of the conversation for hello, Nathan's cat. Even though the play-ins have been a part of the conversation since the beginning of the season, now he's like, whoever put that in needs to get fired.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I've got it verbatim here. Whoever came up with that shit needs to be fired. Mad.
Sounds a bit sour, to be honest. I mean, Lakers have fallen off tremendously. AD has come back looking lost. LeBron came back in the second, got injured. And now all of a sudden, they're not shoo-ins for the playoffs, which they were before LeBron got injured.
What's your thoughts? How are you feeling about their chances to get to the finals?
Like, separate from that, I think it looks good in giving someone else a chance. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? But yeah, as I say, you never know.
Who else is there to give a chance?
If anyone runs into the Lakers in the play-ins, they are pissed. None of these playing teams want it of the Lakers, to be honest. You don't want to face AD and fucking Bron straight away.
Angry as well. LeBron will be angry.
No, you don't want to do that. But at the same time, we're fully ready to play in, so I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot more competitive, a lot more to play for. We were talking about earlier in the season, they've got to be doing stuff to make the league more interesting, because the league's been relatively less competitive over the past, I know, since the Spurs went down, really. No, even before the Spurs. The Spurs were a dynasty. The NBA in general is not that competitive. So I feel like it gives a chance to the smaller teams get in the mix, kind of mix things up, and also keep more markets engaged with the NBA.
Exactly.
They're also, I believe, allowing fans. Like, fans come back, back as well, which is increasing
home court's got a matter
an atmosphere.
I watched the, not to dissect a bit too much, but yeah, watching the boxing yesterday, there were 73,000 fans at the boxing game. So it looks like sports fans will.
It was like Dana White from the UFC got a bunch of shit. I believe it was in Miami where the Masvidal Usman fight was that we spoke about last week. That was the first fight to have so many thousand fans since Corona, and Dana White got a whole bunch of shit for it. So, but on the other hand, it's allowed for these other fights to kind of, or sports in general, to...
I do think home court advantage will be a thing for the players this year. But yeah, on the point of the play-ins, I agree. It's like, we're at, what, the last 2 weeks of the season? Usually last 2 weeks of the season, nobody cares what's going on. You know, the teams that are tanking, most players, most teams don't really care once they're in the play-in places or playoff places. They're not really caring about what seed they are. Like, they're usually sort of nailed in. Whereas now, the next 2 weeks or the next week is super important. I think whoever actually made this thing is probably going to get promoted, because you might get to see Steph Curry against LeBron James in the playing games. And that is going to be, that's going to be national TV. Like, people are going to watch that game. So... I think it looks good. LeBron, it's tough, but if the Lakers can't beat the Warriors or the Grizzlies, then should they really be
Trailblazers? You know what I mean? Like, that was just one game they could have won to not be in this situation. LeBron's always been a bit of a sour guy, isn't it?
did you see the meme that was coming around about LeBron this week? And it was like the classic argument when they ask you who's the greatest, MJ or LeBron, and it's Michael Jordan laughing from the Last Dance documentary, and is like, well, this picture says it all, and it's LeBron James in an all-star uniform, which is obviously a Jordan all-star uniform, number 23. So it was he was just wearing the all Jordan, and it was you're the GOAT when the GOAT is wearing you.
Yeah. I kind of get that a bit, but then you can still be inspired by the GOAT and be better than him.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, that's good marketing, but it's the Jordan brand, in a weird way, has done so much more than Michael Jordan. Not from a athlete's point of view, but from a
company. Oh, 100%, 100%. He's changed not just basketball, but in general sports endorsements. He's completely changed the game on that.
Sneakers, hip hop culture, like Jordan 1s are like a staple in people's closets. People play hundreds of thousands for them.
It's actually wild. And most of these people have no idea who Jordan is. Or the brand. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, despite Mark Jordan being Mark Jordan in it, like I can walk through today and see a bunch of girls wearing Jordans. And they haven't seen a single Jordan anything, bro. So, yeah, he's like the Michael Jackson of sports, basically. Remember Michael Jackson back in the day? Like, remember he used to do like these, remember that show in Poland or whatever? And he had like 500,000 people. Like
Michael Jackson's.
Man, he used to be in hotels. And nah, man. I don't think we'll get enough Michael Jackson in music, and we won't get
Jordan no.
That's because no. I think the generation's changed and the. Like, once again, not to go off too much on a tangent, but social media, technology. Like, okay, if the Michael Jackson of our day and age is performing in Berlin, we either see it or we don't see it. And if we really want to see it, we can watch it on YouTube. If Michael Jackson, back in whenever it would have been, was performing, you had to be there. You had to get there. And it was like a life experience, you know? Like, I can say, for example, I've seen so many people live, but none of them are really crazy. But my mother's like, I saw Prince, I saw AC/DC, I saw like Jimi Hendrix, whatever, whoever it may be. These are like names that we still talk about to this day. But in 30, 40 years' time, are we going to be like, oh, I saw fucking Big Sean last night?
No, I saw Kanye. I've seen Kanye like 3 times. I saw Kanye do.
Kanye is a different one. Jay-Z, right? A different one. Jay-Z. Nas is a different one, but you could also argue that's a different era.
Like, but I do think on the point of like social, I do think if there's a basketball player, like of someone who's from this generation, who understands how to run social media, and connects with fans and comes up, they could be a game changer. Because if you look at what Jake Paul's done, Jake Paul is selling out 1.3 million like pay-per-view seats.
That's a different thing. He's not coming up through social media and then transitioning to becoming an athlete.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, if somebody is engaging enough already and is getting traction on social media and is engaging properly with their fans and actually builds up a fan base into them, and they're also LeBron level in terms of skill, then that would be like the game changer. Like, I see LeBron using Twitter and saying stuff, but I don't know if he's got the. I don't know if it's because he's super engaging or if it's because he's LeBron.
Yeah, but in general, I'd hesitate to like compare pro athletes to Jake Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got time on their hands. They've got to be a lot more focused. I mean, the closest we probably had to that is probably Lonzo Ball. So far, like they came through the social media hype, TV, Facebook show. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm saying, like, if LaMelo gets to MVP level, the way people are talking about him now, the way social media gets buzzing off of him now, if he gets to MVP level sort of playing, the level of engagement that he will be able to get, I don't know, it's just a random thought. Yeah. But
LaMelo feels like even active on social media. Like, it's actually relatively quiet, isn't it? It's part of being like the presence. So I don't know, it's interesting though, but like obviously we don't want to see the WWE-ification of basketball.
Yeah.
Get Vince McMahon and NBA commissioner. But I don't know, man. Did you see this thing last week with the whole like Marvel NBA crossover?
I saw it a bit. I only saw like highlights of it. Yeah. Well, let's say that's a nice segue because that was a Steph game. And I don't know if that was a game that the lights went out during a Steph match, but he was on like, I don't know if anyone saw it. There was one game where he scored 30 points up until the third quarter. Then the lights went out halfway during a shot. And then he scored 1 point after that. Like, it completely discombobulated him when the lights came back on. I don't know what happened. But yeah,
like a whole basketball theory, which really scientifically makes sense. It's like a lot of European basketball players have when they play on like a global or international scale or even in a big arena is that like you know it from like a high school, for example, you're shooting a basket in the basket, it's attached to a wall, which is another 5 foot behind it. So in your depth perception, that's how far away the hoop is because you know how far away the wall is. When you're playing in an arena, you're playing on like a standalone hoop that's got chairs or it's separate effectively. And there's this whole thing about people missing a lot of shots if there's a sudden change. So like if I'm shooting here and then I'm going to shoot there, I might miss. It might also be okay. But like with the whole thing of lights out, like that happens.
Mm.
And then players, as you say, get discombobulated, confused, and then it's just the shots off.
Mm. That's interesting. Like I kind of, you're right, because athletes are creatures of habit at the end of the day. They practice constantly. So doing one thing so that when they're in a pressure situation, they can do it like muscle memory. And then if you change one thing about it, so like I remember Russell Westbrook, doesn't he have like crazy like routines before he actually like plays? Like he's super meticulous about stuff that has to happen before the game.
It's a whole thing. LeBron James throwing the dust in the air. Dwayne Wade used to do the pull-ups. Like
Trae Young shoots a free sitting down on the bench every game.
Right. Like everyone has their thing, yeah.
Yeah. But to be honest, with social media, I also noticed that JaVale McGee, actually, a lot of NBA players do have like a running, like a vibing kind of social media presence outside of like Twitter and stuff. Like when they were in the bubble and stuff, guys like JaVale McGee had their own. Dennis Schroeder has his whole thing. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is like the fit god on Instagram. PJ Tucker with the crepes.
Actually,
there's different ways, isn't it? But I think most NBA players would be too hesitant to become this all-encompassing like social media presence like a Jake Paul, because that's just too distracted and can go wrong.
Jake Paul as well is not afraid to be the idiot. And I think that's what, like, it's when you're like a contracted athlete, you have to follow some sort of guidelines, some sort of rules, maybe even have a managerial whatever that looks after all your socials for you. But whereas Jake Paul just runs it, you know?
If Jake Paul wants to, we can have a barbecue right now, have all the bitches, have all the weed.
Paul Pierce is a retired guy, yeah.
Wow. Mm. Did you guys see Paul Pierce has got into weed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great segue for him. Do you want to say anything more about Steph doing Steph things? I think I see it's on the list.
Yeah, I mean, he played OKC the other night, but gotta take that.
But it's Steph. he's just a ridiculous human being.
He somehow overtook Bradley Beal. He's basically been scoring 35 points every night the whole season. It's crazy, but
I think that's what makes you a really good player, is when you can record such a statistic with it going completely unnoticed.
You have to remember that he is that team's offense. There is no one else. Like, there's not that. Like, so that means that all teams are thinking is just defend Steph. You don't need to do anything else. Just close Steph down.
I think Steph feels disrespected if he ever comes past the half court and someone's not on him. He's just like, yeah. No one else in him. But what do you guys think, actually, segueing all the way back to a few episodes ago when we had this LeBron versus Steph discussion? We were like, yo, how likely is it to see like another Steph Curry compared to a LeBron? Has it wavered a little bit? Because you're both pretty firm on LeBron.
Nah.
No,
this doesn't take away from the fact that Steph is just an alien.
Agreed.
And so the fact that to say that he's an alien kind of says he's otherworldly, but I can, just with how many people or how the game is now, that three-pointers are just becoming you have to be able to shoot three-pointers. Like even at sort of junior level, they're going to be pushing this as hard as possible. So the amount
it's been like this for a while though. And Trae Young came into the league. Exactly.
But this is like the past 8 years. I'm talking about like there are like people who were 5 years old in 2015 who are now 10, who are probably like, there's a bigger population in the US or globally who can like comfortably sink 3-pointers at the age of like 10, 11 than there were 10 years ago. And just because of that, there'll be people who come out who, if they have the handles, will maybe be able to look like a Steph.
But how long Steph has Steph Curry owned the league, really? Since like 2013, 2014?
A bit earlier.
Isn't it? I mean, yeah. Since it's like hot, let's say like 2013.
2014.
So that's a good, that's 7 years already. And how old is he? He's like, what, 32?
I think he just turned 33.
33. Yeah, because for me, I'm like, we saw the next version of Jordan while he was still about, innit? No, I mean, like, Kobe came out and, like,
everyone's
like,
in that sense, yeah.
Everyone's like, we're never going to get another Jordan. And, like, Kobe came through, innit? Like, maybe, to me personally, I think he reached those levels, innit? But it's a very similar style and basically a clone of that player. I think, as I said, we're going to see players who are a lot closer to mimicking a LeBron compared to successfully mimicking Steph Curry.
But yeah, that's not the argument, though. We're not talking about who can be mimicked better.
Like, well, I mean, that's what
you give me. You give me a whiskey, I'll fucking mimic Matthew McConaughey for you. I don't give a shit. But
yeah, but I mean, who's going to come into the league watching Steph Curry thinking, yo, I want to be like this, I want to be able to shoot like this?
Yeah, but if we're talking characteristics, not mimicking, like, it's more likely you're going to have a 3-point shooter than you are going to have like a physical beast like LeBron.
We just came. Zion just come through. Giannis just come through.
Exactly. You've got Giannis, but Giannis doesn't see the game the way LeBron does. Giannis can't pass the way LeBron does. Like, LeBron is a physical monster, and then he has all of the like soft touches as well. That's what I mean by you're not going to see another LeBron. You'll see another person who's going to be as big as him, but you're going to see another person as big as him, as smart as him, who has the creativity of him.
I think we'll get another type of LeBron. Whether we'll be as impressed when he does come is a different argument to me.
But then if we're not as impressed with him, then we've not got another LeBron, if that makes sense.
Well, as I said, like, we got another Jordan and Kobe.
Yeah, so, and like, we were impressed with Kobe.
I mean, Jordan fans aren't going to tell you that Kobe's on levels of Jordan.
I agree. You know what I
mean? So, like, there's always going to be a bit of, like, distortion in terms of your perspective. But for me, when I see Steph, like, he's been destroying the league. Like, he literally flipped the league already, like, 6 years ago. So that's a whole generation of college students, not even a whole, that's like a few generations of college students coming through and being like, yo, Steph is maybe more attainable than LeBron, but none of these kids can really do it. Like, Trae Young came through, like,
that argument and saying LeBron's been in the league for many more years than Steph. College kids have been trying to attain LeBron's.
Yeah, it's true, but look, I hear that as well. That's a great argument, and I hear that, but like, again, I still see players like Giannis and Luka who are basically like,
nah, come on.
I feel like they're pretty similar to Bron.
Nah.
Like, Luka doesn't have the physicality. He's definitely got
this is it, right? Like, you're saying Giannis and Luka together. Giannis and Luka, if you put them in one person, is LeBron. It's not, but like, separately, no. But yeah, we should move on. But like, they're both ridiculous. Let's just leave it at that. They're both insane. What I did like to see, which what I found was really funny this week, was the Butler Cat banter.
Does anyone know what was actually said?
Yeah, he said you're a loser. Butler said that you're a loser. I got your number. Or what did he say? Like, I already schooled you before. Yeah. So do you know the whole story, Cal, from when Butler was in the Timberwolves?
Not to my knowledge, no.
So the Timberwolves are historically a trash team. And they haven't been in the play. They hadn't. The one time they've been in the playoffs in the past 14 years was when Jimmy Butler was in the team.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Butler, you know how Jimmy Butler is.
Correct. Like,
you work hard, you grind. There's no space for nonsense. We're here to win. Cat and him didn't get along. I think Cat was a rookie. he's a franchise player, and in his mind, he's like, I don't want to have to listen to this guy telling me what to do.
It's kind of like a Kobe and Shaq situation.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? You should be bossing it. We should be going further. Like, you saw Kat, who's quite a talent. Where are we going? What are you doing? You're soft. Like, sorry, continue, Derek.
Yeah. Pretty much, but yeah, that was it. And so Jimmy Butler demanded, and he felt that the franchise, the organization didn't value him as well. So he demanded a trade. And there was all this like back and forth. And so essentially during a practice, Jimmy Butler took the third team. So not the bench players, he took the third team against the Timberwolves first team. So Kat, Wiggins, whoever, and beat them. And like someone, and this came out in the press. And so eventually Jimmy Butler gets his move. And so now, like, this is there between them. Yeah. Like,
some animosity there.
There's animosity. At the end of the day, Jimmy Butler's in the right, in my opinion. Like,
but that was quite simply the argument. You're a loser. There was nothing.
I'm sure there was a little bit of, like, more banter before that, but it's the history. It's the fact that he was like, I've got your number, like I've schooled you before. Like, this is not, you're a kid to me, basically. And Kat just has to accept it until his team starts actually start doing stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, at the end of the day, like, this mentality isn't gonna work for everyone. It's like the way, like, Michael Jordan, remember in The Last Dance? I think it's in the last episode where he's like, yo, don't want to play it this way. No, don't play this way. It's like sometimes, like, these big characters, they have like this huge drive and this intensity to win and blah blah blah. But this just doesn't work.
What team has won the title without a character like that in their team?
Spurs.
I know.
I would say Popovich is that. I would say Greg Popovich is that. Like,
yeah, but as a coach, there's a difference.
Is LeBron like that?
But I would say LeBron probably is like that. You just don't. He does it in a subtle way.
No, LeBron says, if you're not good, I don't want you here.
But then,
that's the same thing. I'm not accepting losers. LeBron does not accept losers.
Yeah, but LeBron won't be in your face like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't feel like he's going to be dragging you like that. Like, yo, I'm a dog. Yeah, I don't think he's got that sort of like characteristic. No. He's not like a Jordan, for example. I think this is one of the first six people used to beat him with.
I think a good example would be the Mavericks with Dirk Nowitzki.
That's not a bad shot, but they had Jason Kidd in their team, though. And Jason Kidd was a bastard.
Yeah.
Like, the Miami Heat had Udonis Haslem. The Warriors have Draymond Green.
You got to have someone who's like a bit of a... Someone who's
got to have a bastard in your team.
Oh, they just argue the Spurs late again, because, yeah, okay, but he wasn't on the court, per se.
But, like, you have to have someone who's like, I don't care about your feelings. This is the level that we need to be at. Like, and
I think Kawhi, in a sense, has that, because he doesn't understand feelings.
He's a robot. He's just like...
But then Kawhi...
didn't register with him.
But you don't think Kyle Lowry's a bastard? I reckon Kyle Lowry was the bastard there. Like, Kyle Lowry would have been like, nah, this ain't it.
Well, at the Spurs or at
the Raptors.
I don't think Kyle Lowry is that guy. No, man. I think it was that guy, Masai, the guy running the team. But I think he just woke up one day and was like, this Kyle Lowry, DeRozan loving isn't working. But we can still win, so let's get DeRozan out of here. Get Kawhi. That was one of the greatest trades of all time, by the way.
Definitely.
But yeah, where should we move on to next? You guys been hearing all this talk about Jokic this past week?
Yeah, I heard some person said he would be the worst MVP in history.
Very disrespectful.
It's a statement.
Like, it's a pretty harsh. He's not even. Like,
do you know what? I can resonate with it. I can understand it to an extent.
But he's not had his career though. He like let a guy have a career.
For to history, this point, if this was the last season of basketball forever, to look back on it, and be like, okay, do you know what? Like,
so I have two names that come to mind, and one's going to be really interesting. But firstly, Derrick Rose, not because he's like he didn't deserve to be MVP or he couldn't have been great, but injuries fucked him up and he didn't win what he could have won. Like,
but that's not talking about being an MVP though. That's talking about being like a Hall of Famer. It's a different thing.
But this is when they're saying that Jokic is going to be the worst MVP.
No. Steve Nash, that second MVP one in like 06 or whatever, that's the worst MVP of all time, right? My guy,
when you could argue on the other side of Derek, that season. Yeah, but he had history.
But what did you say, Wally?
Like in Steve Nash's 06 MVP, the second one he won. I think that was definitely a worse MVP to me because, I mean, Kobe should have won it. Then I feel like you guys remember that season where Kobe had like 64 points in two or three quarters that season. The whole like...
I don't think they're saying worst in terms of whether they deserve it this year. I think the guy meant it as in what this person will do in his career. Like, if you look at LeBron, KD, Harden, these are, to be fair, I don't even know if it's like maybe Harden's even a weird one.
No, that's a weird shout and very disingenuous. But not having that. Jokic has like clearly been, I'm not going to say clearly, but he's had longevity this season, so I'd be like, shout MVP. Yeah, anything other than that is just trying to like take away from his accomplishments. Like, no one's been able to like contain Jokic at all this season, and he's been doing it. He's been continuing to do it even without Jamal Murray. Like, he's just him, Mark Porter Jr. just like taking man on. MAGA Jr. by the way, not going to forget that. MAGA Porter Jr. But Jokic is a good MVP. I still feel like even with, if you put in the career argument, like Steve Nash, I'm not sure if he had the career.
Did Steve Nash win a title at the Mavericks, didn't he?
Did he? I don't think so.
Don't know. No idea.
No, I don't think he did. He wasn't in that team.
But yeah, I'd put Derrick Rose in there just because although he was a phenom, unfortunately, he didn't actually do anything.
I think that's like a funny one. Going back to like shoes and impact of shoes, to me, like after Dwight Howard, the Derrick Rose Adidas sneaker was something that was like the Adidas shoe. Like growing up for me playing basketball, and although he had two or three great seasons, whatever, like that shoe still sold, still did numbers, like out with him actually being in the league or playing actively in the league.
Derrick Rose is massive, though. Derrick Rose is absolutely huge. And the narrative and propaganda machine around Derrick Rose during that season was massive. Like, youngest MVP ever. Look how explosive he is. The Bulls were doing amazing. You could have also argued that maybe voters maybe got a bit tired towards that. Maybe suffered a bit of a voter burnout towards the end of that MVP campaign. But, I don't know. Maybe there's also the fact that maybe the MVP award is a narrative thing. Like, Giannis isn't really getting any shouts this year, despite putting up great numbers once again. Purely because I guess people don't want to give him three in a row.
It would be difficult to get, like,
purely. Like,
if you had a vote, could you give this guy three MVPs in a row and then have the potential that he goes out in the second round and playoffs? So for someone who's won three MVPs in a row.
It's true. I mean, it's a narrative award. This is how people view greatness. You know what I mean?
Mm.
How many MVPs do you have? Oh, he's got 2, 3, 4, 5 and regular season MVPs. It's the GOAT. Giannis gets the third MVP without going anywhere serious in the playoffs. Then it kind of makes it obviously disingenuous. The whole award.
Yeah, it ruins the award a bit. Yeah. So I do understand why it has to be that way. It's unfortunate, but hey, do your shit in the playoffs. Talking about doing shit in the playoffs, Paul George.
Wait, hold on. Can we just clarify from previous episodes? Have you shat in a forest yet?
No.
Okay.
I'm in London.
Hey, you said you're out of. I've done like midnight shifts, like just in random locations before. Like you were last night at 5 a.m. Could have happened.
Nah, man. I've been in London like at bars. Like I'm not. Luckily, the facilities are there for me not to have to do.
The time will come when you need it. You'll be thinking of me.
Hopefully not. I'm a nervous pooer, man. I don't need to be thinking about you there, man. All right. Paul George, PS4.
PS5. Yeah, we had a great chat about this prior. I actually think it's a decent looking shoe. I like the initial colorway. It fits the very PS5, very, very clean white, clean bright white, a nice kind of electric blue. I think it does the job. It's a nice mix of support, but also nice looking shoe. You know what I mean? And we also spoke very briefly about previous shoes, like the Paul George 2 PlayStation and like the black colorways going for $300, give or take. But then like PlayStation collabs are generally successful. The Nike Zoom Huarache trainer PlayStation, the basketball shoes, $650, and the original like Air Force that kind of kicked the boat is 38k. So no, I like the shoe. I would play in it. Wouldn't necessarily go out of my way to buy it. I would rather still have a lower top shoe as a mid top, but yeah, it's decent.
I don't know why Paul George had to release a fucking PlayStation shoe. It's like he doesn't see the internet. You know what I mean? Like one of the first things I saw when the Lakers won the trophy, won the championship last year, was like a little comparison meme with like AD kissing the trophy and Paul George kissing his PS5 that he managed to get early.
You know how much money you don't make on that though? Like the Sony in PlayStation 5 is one of the biggest, like one of the most wanted items in the world to this day, and it has been for the last year. You know what I mean? If you can get your hands on a PS5, you just like, you know Nathan yourself, like we play PlayStation. If we could get our hands on a PS5, we probably would.
Yeah, but I guess Nathan's point is like, this guy's got better things to be thinking about. In saying that, though, I watched the Clippers for like the first time, like a few times, for the first time in a while, a few times.
They're really good, huh?
They're looking good. Like, I actually think I want to wait to see. Like I said, I'm not going to disrespect LeBron. I want to wait to see if he's back fit again. But if he's not 100%, I would put Clippers as my favorites to come out of the West the way they're looking right now.
They're really good. Like they've been good the whole season as well, and they look motivated. Paul George like literally came into the season saying, "Yeah, okay, you guys have been making noise, but I've been with my trainer this summer, and we go and see." So I'm kind of hoping like he kind of gets over it, because I feel like the whole narrative around him is it's quite peak. I still think he's a top 10, top 15 NBA player, full stop. And people need to respect him.
Yeah. Him and look, if him, Kawhi are fit, Rondo's looking like he's a decent fit there. Boogie is doing stuff there. Like,
Zubac still, another European baller. Euroballer. Ivica Zubac.
Ah, Zubac just doing his thing.
That's like a fucking Pokemon, man, Zubac.
But yeah, like they could be an interesting one. I reckon we should do some predictions at the end of this season of who we think are going to come out of the West. Like, no fence sitting.
Nathan, you hear that? You've got a week to prepare. Like,
okay,
pick a side.
I know my way around it. Don't worry.
If I'm gonna give a bit of disclaimer around exactly what will happen, just in case these guys finish here, I'm gonna say maybe the Lakers, but then if LeBron is feeling happy on a Tuesday, then it could be the Clippers.
Basically, my dad always said, Nathan, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And
oh man, you gotta put your balls on the table, man.
That's my life motto. That's the rule I follow in life in general. But yeah, you guys seen a bit of Mo Bamba this week?
I haven't seen anything of him.
Not me either.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I see the Magic, when I'm looking on that league pass and I see Orlando Magic, I'm not looking. there's no need for me to click on that game.
Man swipes past it like it's an advert.
Honestly, there's no need.
I don't think anyone has come into the league with like the particular hype that Mo Bamba had, like a very specific type of hype. Huge song.
Mad song. Song of 2018 or whatever it was.
Not quite Chief Keef, but obviously man hasn't come in and lived up to the billing. Neither of them did actually. Sheck West also tried to get it. But he's had a little moment this week, had two really good games. He's looking a lot more solid than he was when I last saw him at the draft. So
but rookie's second, it's his second year, right? What was this as well?
Yeah,
no. Second year, man. For the second year, you see quite big jumps. Like RJ Barrett has had a pretty big jump. I think rookie, you're just trying to sort of find your feet, especially when you're supposed to be someone that's supposed to be helping out defensively.
That's interesting though, because I'd also say that this year we've seen so many rookies take on like really like central focal points in their teams. Like if you look through the league, there's been a lot of impressive rookies this year, like who are playing like actual substantial minutes. Maybe it's due to the injuries actually. There's like maybe two or three rookies where you're like, okay, they're good. But in general, this whole draft, I'll maybe get up a picture, but like a lot of these kids are actually playing like proper games,
It's been a good draft year, I think. And what has your rookie of the year changed again since LaMelo's come back?
Still Ant for rookie of the year. Greatest, bro. He's going to save the league. Ant is that social media star, bro. That one you were kind of alluding to. Ant is going to be that guy. I'll tell you. Ant's got the full package. He can sing, he can play baseball, play football, play basketball. He's a quadruple threat.
I like the kid, man. Honestly, his personality is quite charismatic as well. I think he'll do well.
He's going to release a song with Little Baby at some point as well. And, bro, like, we're going to see the next level. Bearing in mind, most of these NBA rappers are awful. We should do an episode on that.
Hey, don't disrespect Logo.
It's all about Aaron Gordon. You seen Aaron Gordon? Gordon's a rapper.
Yeah, but Dame Lillard is an actual rapper. Like, he's actually called. And who is it? Victor Oladipo's an R&B singer.
Oladipo as well.
Yeah, man.
Ron Artest is the OG, though.
Is he a musician?
Bro, do you not remember the song? Fucking Champions or some shit. Ew, ew, ew.
Nah, man.
This is the sound when you come to...
So I was just thinking of Lakers stars, and I know Shaq had a music career, and Kobe had a song as well. But I don't know about Ron Artest. Love that guy. Met a world peace.
Met a world peace, the man.
Love that guy. What did you
think of Kyrie's comments about his fines?
Reiterating the same thing he said at the beginning of the season.
I don't speak to pawns.
The peons. Of the media. I rate it. Oh, you know what? Sit on
Keep
it.
Keep the same energy. Keep the same energy.
Hold it, bro. I rate it. Because as he said, like whenever he slips up, they're onto him. Man takes a day off. Stephen A. Smith, Derek Adai.
you know what's worrying me sometimes? But on the Kyrie stuff, I'm not Stephen A. Smith. But Stephen A has been doing the same shit. I find Stephen A is using the same arguments as me with his Westbrook comments. I'm just like, fuck, I'm sounding like Stephen A. Smith. This is not the place I want to be in. Like, he did a whole show where he, like, you know the disclaimer he does for LeBron, where he says, great father, philanthropist, style icon, statistical amazing. These are all the things. But... And then he just goes in on Westbrook. I was just like, oh, my days. That's why I open up saying, I don't want to open up with hate. Give Russell Westbrook his roses. He deserves it.
I think Russell Westbrook's wife or something came out to defend him. I was like, yo, I respect your wife. I would also love to have a woman like this in my life who's got my back in these sorts of situations. But your husband's a bum. Oh, yeah, great, great, great. We have someone like him in English sports media. Is it?
Nah. Do you think someone like him could make it in English sports media? England's very reserved.
You say that, but there was the whole football thing about a couple of years ago. Was it not about prostitutes or some shit? They were talking, it was like Jeremy Clarkson-ish type, truck stops are only for prostitutes and something else. Some new, like, Scottish news football commentator mentioned.
I think you're thinking of, like, Andy Gray. No, that was actually like them. Basically, they spoke about a female linesman or something like that, and said some like nasty stuff about her. That was like quite that was more just like misogynistic shit.
Oh, okay.
Stephen isn't misogynistic. He's just overly respectful. But
yeah,
he's a very respectful guy, but he'll disrespect you in the same breath.
Exactly. You know he's about to give you disrespect when he starts saying how good you are. He's just building up to say, but
it's his, like, it's his way of saying, yo, listen, like, I got to do my job. I'm not trying to fight, but I got to do my job. that's what he's saying when he's going through all this performative, like, yo, the wife is lovely. You're a great footballer. Yo, I love the charity work you've been doing. But you got small hands.
Kwame Brown, that is honestly the greatest rant ever. But yeah, no, I don't actually think that you could get a UK version. I don't think the British public buys. I don't know, actually. Maybe someone, like, we haven't had anyone try it yet. And the media has a, exactly. But yeah, let's not talk about Arsenal. But yeah, I don't know if the media would give space to someone like that. You maybe see it come up through social media, and maybe someone could get an opening that way.
Because everyone in the UK, they're all like performers, like athletes.
Football. Yeah, exactly.
So they're like, oh, I don't want to... I don't know. Gary Neville kind of got onto everyone. Like, maybe Gary Neville.
Gary Neville's the closest, but Gary Neville's not a showman.
Wait. Did you see him after the whole Super League fiasco?
I think he was genuinely angry.
My man came out like Winston Churchill. Like, yeah. Yo, that was amazing. But yeah, I mean, we're talking about football now. Yeah. Should we tie up or what else?
You've got some random topics there.
Man's like, man's topics are chicken shortage in the US. Woman gives birth to 9 babies instead of expected 7. Jesus, that's a fucking GDP ticker tape on a bad day.
New yeah. J. Cole album.
I'm not.
No wonder there's a fucking chicken shortage when women's giving birth to 9 babies.
Bro, how do you not realize there's actually 2 human beings in your
How stressed. Stressful that must be, bro. You're like, you're already stressed because you're like, I've got 7 babies to look after. Fuck, how are we going to afford this? Yeah, and then there's an extra 2 that are just there.
Benefit.
Someone, I saw a meme, someone's like, I'm gonna, so like, you'll be getting a baby for Christmas from me. Like,
is that a world record? I know there's been octoplets before, but has there ever been 9?
I don't know.
Was it?
How do 9 human beings fit inside 1 person?
Oh, it's called noniplex. Oh.
Jeez, no, you have no.
But the world record is the octoplets.
Huh.
That was weird. Wasn't that woman?
She had a TV show, no?
I thought she was doing porn for a bit.
Yeah, I do remember
that.
That
was really weird. But yeah, that's not good. She wasn't doing porn. That's not good.
Where was the Nonplex born?
It was in Africa somewhere, no?
Yeah, Mali.
Yeah. So.
Wait, let's sign up. It's time for signing. I've got jerk chicken next to my place. I'm trying to eat.
Okay. All right. Well, who's signing off? You, Callum? Wrap it up.
Thank you for tuning in once again to Westbrook Productions, where we praise the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Russell.
Westbrook Show.
We're back with the triple double. That's a good name for a podcast.
All right, I was about to say, should we call the pod for triple double? Triple dub.
Trip dubs. Yeah, no, we're done. Thank you. See you next week.